Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Catherine Carley. The labor market remained strong in September, adding 254,000 jobs, while the unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. A new federal proposal details which public lands across the West would be open to solar development. Reporter Kathleen Shannon has more.
The Western Solar Plan by the Bureau of Land Management opens 31 million acres across 11 Western states to potential solar power development. In Wyoming, 3.8 million acres would be open for potential permits. That's far less than the combined 15 million acres currently available through independent plans from the state's BLM field offices. Julia Stubel with the Wilderness Society says wildlife is sensitive to development, especially in migration corridors critical to big game, and the plan incorporates new research on the needs of those species.
Being included in this proactive approach where BLM is looking at areas to exclude and making those decisions now and not in response to a project proposal is just a tremendous update for us.
According to a statement from the White House, the Western Solar Plan streamlines the permitting process and allows the BLM flexibility in permitting. But the agency's actual need for solar development through 2045 is expected to use less than 2% of the 31 million acre total, or about 700,000 acres.
And now to New York, where grant funding is helping schools take part in National Farm to School Month.
These grants allow schools to buy food directly from local or regional farmers so kids have nutritious meals. Jenny Lester Moffitt with the USDA says this program allows farmers to get more of the food dollar back by selling their wares directly.
So traditionally, a farmer gets about 14 cents of every food dollar back to their farming operation. But when farmers can sell locally, direct to their community, selling direct to their schools, more of the food dollar comes back to their farm.
She adds it also provides them with a reliable and stable place to sell their products. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And in Kentucky, children's advocates are observing 10-4 Day today to raise awareness of a new tool to identify child abuse.
Tamara Brown directs the Health Access Nurturing Development Services, or HANDS, program at Family and Children's Place, Jefferson County. She says the home visitation program that provides resources for new or expectant parents includes education on the 10-4 rule to help people spot any potential signs of abuse in their child or neighbors' and friends' children.
We work with children under the age of 2 and prenatal families. And what we are hoping is that we can really provide a lot of support for those most vulnerable populations. Children under 2 are the highest risk group for death through child abuse.
Kentucky's rate of child abuse decreased in 2022, but the number of reported abuse and neglect cases in the state still surpasses the national average, according to federal data. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
This is Public News Service. Medical debt has long been a burden for many Americans, with millions struggling to pay off their health care bills. In Ohio, a new program is offering relief to some residents.
Alexandria Delicat-Hines, an Ohioan, recently experienced the impact firsthand when her medical debt was unexpectedly cleared.
This program can be absolutely life-changing, and having your medical debt cleared can truly have a domino effect in your life and change so many things.
Delicat Hines, who accumulated $25,000 in medical debt during grad school, benefited from a partnership between RIP Medical Debt and local governments in Lucas County and Toledo. Using $800,000 in federal COVID relief funds, the program canceled millions of Ohio residents' medical debt. Critics, however, raise concerns about its sustainability, relying heavily on federal funding and not addressing the root causes of high medical costs. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Now to Indiana, where voter advocacy groups are questioning Secretary of State Diego Morales and his claim that more than 90% of residents are registered to vote for the upcoming election. Joe Ullery reports.
Morales announced over 4.7 million Hoosiers are on the voter rolls, praising efforts to encourage registration across the state. However, Julia Vaughn, executive director of Common Cause Indiana, says the state's voter registration lists are wrong due to poor maintenance.
That number is inflated because the state does a horrible job of routine list maintenance. It's not a real number. We don't know what the real number is, and we won't until we get that list cleaned up.
According to the 2023 Indiana Civic Health Index, an estimated 67% of Hoosiers were registered to vote in 2022, ranking the state 40th in the nation.
Indiana was also near the bottom for registering younger voters aged 18 to 24. Experts say a diverse workforce is crucial for creativity and social justice, and equally good for a company's bottom line. But reluctance to hire transgender workers remains high. Ross Brown has more.
A study by UCLA showed the majority of non-binary adults in the workforce are under age 35 and make less than $50,000 a year. Tony Newman with the group Trans Can Work cites research that shows diversity in the workplace helps everyone thrive.
Different ethnic background, different gender, different race. Diverse teams often outperform homogeneous ones as they can leverage a broader range of experience and skills.
17 out of 50 states still maintain laws and policies that discriminate against transgender and gender nonconforming individuals in the workplace.
60% of transgender employees have reported discrimination on the job. I'm Catherine Carley for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.